The story goes, when the Guarneri Quartet began to form, Michael Tree and Arnold Steinhardt tossed a coin to decide which of them would play first violin, and the other the viola. And Arnold Steinhardt lost the coin toss, meaning Michael Tree got to play viola. Welcome back to Accelerando. My name is Paula Tuttle, and today we're talking about life in a string quartet. That's a funny story because most people think playing first violin is the glorious position and the one everyone wants. But being the violist is just as glorious and just as satisfying, but in a different way. You get to play the same music, but you don't have nearly the same amount of pressure as the first violin, or sometimes the cello or second violin. But you're just as important to the whole. I remember my high school orchestra conductor, Mr. Flynn, told us that when we were learning a chaconne in Passacaglia by Buxtehude, that if you listen to the bass line, you'll hear all the other parts above it. And that always stuck with me. After all these years, I don't remember hearing any of my teachers saying like that. Mr. Flynn was an organist, and a Buxtehude piece on the organ would have the organist playing the bass line on the pedals. How does the organist organize all his thoughts with all four appendages going full throttle? I think the advice of listening or thinking about the bass line has credibility in this case. In a string quartet, everyone has to listen to each other. And though the second violin, viola, and cello don't have to play all the tricky high stuff that the first violin does, they internalize it and react to it. The performance you hear is a result of hours the group spent determining where to put the tempo, the pitch, the phrasing, the character, and the mood. There is no conductor in the sense that a symphony orchestra has an authoritative leader. The group takes turns listening to each other's ideas, and sometimes negotiations take place. This movement should be faster, this phrase should be softer, this stroke should be longer, and so on. There's lots to be talked about and agreed upon if the concert is going to be successful. Like most of us at the New England Conservatory, I worked with Eugene Lehner, who was the violist in the Kolisch String Quartet in the early part of his career. Besides being a wonderful teacher, Mr. Lehner impressed upon us the life of a string quartet in the second quarter of the 20th century. The Kolisch Quartet was one of the few quartets that performed by memory, a real feat unto itself. And the quartet traveled by boat across the Atlantic. This, according to Mr. Lehner, gave him time to study and memorize a lot of scores. The rehearsals were vibrant, animated, and discussion was often heated. In one rehearsal about the interpretation of a quartet, one member threw the Manhattan White Pages across the room at one of his colleagues, and the colleague responded by throwing the Brooklyn Yellow Pages back at the first member. Mr. Lehner told this story in an attempt to underline how important it was to defend your interpretation in these rehearsals. The rehearsing is a joy, where the magic starts, and if done right, results in really satisfying concerts. Life in a quartet can be really great, but like anything, there's a struggle before the victories. I myself think playing cello in a string quartet is a life sublime. The cello gets a fair amount of the melodies, gets to hunker down with the inner voices, and carries the bass line as their main character role. And when you think of your daily routine, there's alone practice time and rehearsals with a group. Compared to the solo career or the orchestral career, it takes the best of those worlds. Collaboration with colleagues and developing solo skills. And it leaves behind the drudgery of too much time alone or being under the baton and control of a conductor, which may or may not be to your liking. So looking at the life of a string quartet member, the pluses to this kind of career. Number one, you have agency. Number two, you have significance. And number three, you have dignity. All three of these should be qualified with possibility. You have the possibility of agency, the possibility of significance, and the possibility of dignity. Because if it was automatic, hey, everyone would do it. People who set out to make string quartets their life are smart. I say they're smart because they are not only playing some of the greatest music ever written, but they are setting themselves up to have control over their careers. Control over scheduling rehearsals and concerts, over selection of repertoire, how much do they want to tour, who do they want to play with, and ultimately, what kind of growth the organization chooses to embark upon.
When we started the Orion Quartet, we were all in the midst of careers already. The agreement was that we can all do other things, but I think it's one of the reasons why we lasted this long. Because we're constantly allowed to have outside influences to bring that back to the group. It also keeps us sane. Everyone talks about how string quartets are always together all the time. And sure, when we're busy, we're together a lot. But we spend a lot of the year apart, too, which is really nice.
That's the Orion Quartet talking about their planned retirement, which was this year. The Orion has roots in Pittsburgh. Two brothers started the quartet, and the cellist I know from conservatory and festivals in Sarasota, Boston, and Charleston. It's not an easy thing to do. In an article about string quartets, Chamber Music America ranked the quartets in five groups from A to E and found the groups in the B, C, and D rankings were the least successful at being compatible and ultimately didn't last as long. Meaning the top groups had the momentum and the financial stability to keep them going, and the more casual groups didn't have to deal with the hassles to the same degree. Sustaining a quartet is a neat trick. Stories about full-time quartets having personal problems and booking themselves into different hotels on tour are very common. The casual string quartets in column E are able to maintain a long life because they don't see each other very much. And musically, the string quartet is a perfect medium in many ways. The instruments are sympathetic, meaning they ring sympathetically in themselves, like a piano does when the sustain pedal is down. As a group, their instruments react in a similar way. So to play in a quartet and sense this is truly thrilling. The setup of two violins, a viola, and a cello seems so obvious right now, but it evolved over time. There was the trio sonata with two violins and a cello. And then there was the only two popular Pachelbel canon. That's a testament to the pre-quartet stage too, where there were three violins with a cello. But soon, during Haydn's time, the viola was introduced to cover an additional fifth below the violin range, bridging the range with the cello. The decision to not include a contrabass was something that was early on in the evolution. The use of these four instruments came about because it was convenient to play string orchestra pieces in a smaller group. And Haydn would play these kinds of concerts for Carl Joseph Weber, a music-loving Austrian nobleman. And the group eventually asked Haydn to write some new music for the group. Voila, the string quartet was born. After Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, and Schubert followed suit. Later, Schumann, Mendelssohn, and Dvorak wrote for the medium. But there was a lull while really large works for orchestra and opera were thriving in the works of Wagner, Strauss, and Mahler. Then Bartok and members of the Second Viennese School, like Schoenberg and Webern, they started to write for string quartet again. It came back into fashion. And I should mention, Eugene Lehner and his quartet were the champions of these composers, often premiering their works. And also I should mention that Eugene was first noticed by Bartok at the age of 13. It was the great Hungarian composer who helped the young violist get into the Royal Academy of Budapest. But I really want to get back to why the string quartet is such a satisfying pursuit. Whether you take it all the way and make it your one job, or whether you dabble and play a handful of concerts a year.
It seems that all of us really have a shared style and conviction to look at music as coming from real life, our real life as human beings.
If you are committed to this pursuit, I don't need to tell you this, but you measure productivity in a way that most of the world is just coming around to. Value is measured and created by personal interaction, innovation, creative solutions, resilience, and musical growth. While the rest of the world is measuring success in a bottom line, how many widgets you build, or whether you increased productivity over the last quarter. You as a musician measure your growth by how well you play. Did you get stronger or faster or better at your instrument? And more importantly, did you achieve success at making music and connecting with your ensemble mates, the audience, and the intentions of the composer?
Something that's real. That's what people need to hear, whether they know it or not. And that's what we're dedicated to in this quartet.
You experience satisfaction by starting with the curious and wandering through possibilities and discovering wonderment. And this mindset is light years away from the way businesses run themselves. There isn't a prescribed plan. There isn't a rule book, but there's a playbook. And you build a toolbox that assists you in your practice. You don't work for the typical powerful boss. You have agency, which means you decide how to allocate your time. There's no time card unless you make it for your own use. You have a job that can be done by a man or a woman of any race, background, religion, or age. It's human work that can't be done by a machine. Never, not ever. And there's real depth to your work. It can enhance the lives of others. You can teach it and mentor it to young musicians. And you can help those that are less fortunate, and you can raise the lives of those that are truly unfortunate. And all the while your own musical life grows, you get stronger, better at your instrument, and more knowledgeable in your art and its history. Your quartet is made up of four leaders, and as I mentioned earlier, this kind of mindset is key to the modern entrepreneur, gig worker, or anyone who wants agency, significance, and dignity in their lives and careers. Pittsburgh is lucky to have a young quartet based in its city, and again started with two brothers. The Bayo String Quartet just released an album called Triggerland. The quartet plays traditional quartet music, but lots of modern and electric works. The new album embodies rock, indie, spaghetti westerns, Civil War movies, Radiohead, and Dream Theater. I'll post the deets in the show notes. Well, that's it for this week, and thanks for listening, but also thanks for supporting your local string quartets. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.